today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
When God talks about salvation, it's not just the forgiveness of our sins, that is a glorious truth, but also it impacts all of life, including our relationships in the church, in society, we learned, and also in the home.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Relationships are difficult, but when we choose to put our trust in Jesus Christ, we're learning that our lives and relationships are transformed. Today, we're taking a closer look at a strong, lasting, and loving marriage highlighted in Romans as a helpful example. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce his new message titled, A Profile of Marriage.
Last time we began reflecting on the closing verses of Romans 15, where Paul mentions three important factors in planning our future. One is to plan to fellowship with followers of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be married, or you may be single or divorced, or separated or widowed. No matter your relationship status, I think you'll find this interesting as we deal with a profile of marriage from Scripture. In our continuing study of Romans, we come today to the opening verses of Romans 16, where Paul refers to Prisca, or Priscilla, and Aquila. We all appreciate loyal friends, loyal colleagues at work, and certainly loyalty in marriage. Let's learn from this godly relationship as we take a closer look at a profile of marriage.
I want us to think of a profile of a marriage. And we have in Scripture, I think, an inspiring example of a very good marriage. I'm sure this marriage that we're looking at was not a perfect marriage, but it is an example of an authentic biblical marriage. I'm referring to the marriage of Priscilla and Aquila as described in the New Testament. And I think you'll find, along with me, that there is much that we can learn about this couple. So let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, for some of the components of a strong, lasting, loving, biblical marriage. Now, I think this is a very simple message, but it is an example of how the gospel transforms our relationships. We've learned from the book of Romans that when God talks about salvation, it's not just the forgiveness of our sins, that is a glorious truth, an essential truth, but also it impacts all of life, including our relationships in the church, in society, we learned, and also in the home. This is a message for those of you who are married. It's also a message for those of you who are single. As you pray for those of us who are married, and if you're single, the kind of marriage that you should be praying for if, in God's will, you're married in the future. So let me read with you then. First of all, Romans 16, verse 3. Paul writes, greet Prisca, sometimes she's called Priscilla, sometimes Prisca. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. I want us to learn, first of all, that in marriage, to say the obvious, we are to be loyal to each other. In marriage, we are to be loyal to each other. And certainly, as we read about this couple, Prisca and Aquila, clearly they were loyal to each other. The Scripture always refers to them as a couple. There are six references in the New Testament to Priscilla and Aquila, and they're always mentioned together. They operated as a team. Clearly, this is a marriage where they work closely together and where they are loyal to one another. Of the six occasions, Priscilla is mentioned first. That may surprise you. But four times, Priscilla is mentioned first, and twice, Aquila is mentioned first. Customary in the UK, here in the United States, if we're describing a couple, we often just put the man's name first. But where my wife comes, I was quite surprised. We were newly married, and we received a letter from the Faroe Islands, and it was from the Faroe Islands to us, and it was addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Goodney Monroe. I thought, wait a minute, what kind of protocol is this? But in the scriptures, Priscilla is mentioned first of the four times. We're not quite sure why that is the case. She may have been the stronger believer in Christ. She may have been the first convert. Perhaps she even led her husband to the Lord. Perhaps her ministry in the church was more prominent than her husband's. But whatever it was, they operated as a team. That is essential for marriage. Turn with me to the first book in the Bible, to Genesis chapter 2, where we will see that the Lord God created Eve from the life of Adam to be his corresponding partner. Genesis 2, and I'm going to read from verse 18, is the creation account. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." That's the English Standard Version. But the footnote says, "I will make him a helper." If you've got the ESV, a little footnote at the bottom, do you notice it? It says, "corresponding to him." Some translations say, "a helper corresponding to him." Or the NIV and the New American Standard translated, "suitable to him." Here is Adam, he's on his own. The Lord says, "It's not good for you to be alone, Adam, and I'm going to create someone for you, Eve, who is going to correspond to you, who's going to be fit for you, who is going to be a helper to you, who's going to be suitable to you." Let's read on, verse 20. "The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.' Therefore," notice this, "therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and," King James, "cleave," ESV, "and hold fast," that's it, "hold fast to his wife," be loyal to his wife, "and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So clearly, right from the beginning, God's intention is that man is not to be alone, and that a husband and wife are created for each other. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone should be married. We know from the New Testament that some are called to be single, and that is very, very important that we acknowledge that. But it does mean that if you have chosen to be married, that you are to be loyal to that person. Why is that? Because marriage is ordained by God. It is God who instituted marriage. And I think this is wonderful for followers of Jesus Christ, that we recognize that it is God who puts together one man and one woman in what we call holy matrimony, that God has joined us together. Yes, we have our preferences. Yes, there are people that we find attractive. There are people that we think we could never possibly live with. But as we're following Christ, and I would say this to those of you who are single, make sure that you are praying for someone that God brings into your life, that God is going to join to you. And then you are going to hold fast. I'll give a personal testimony. There I was, a single man, relatively happy, but praying for a Christian wife. I'd been brought up in a Christian home where we were told how important it was that when you married a fellow Christian, not just one in name, but one who really loved Jesus Christ. And so I was praying for a wife. I think it's a good prayer, isn't it? And I was praying. I had met, I don't know how many women in my life. There wasn't one that I thought, this is a woman I want to marry. And then all of a sudden, from the Faroe Islands on a ship, comes a team from Pharaoh to evangelize the pagan Scots, and there I was, and I saw this young lady who didn't speak much English in the ship, and I thought, I wonder if she's the one. There was just something about her that I thought she was the one. I hadn't, just when I saw her, very beautiful, but I wasn't that silly just to think just because someone is beautiful, you're going to marry them. But as I got to know her very quickly, it became very clear that this was the woman that God had brought to me. I firmly believe that. Goodness said, if she'd known I was going to be a pastor, she never would have married me. I don't think she really believes that. I think she still finds me irresistible. But I mean, when you marry someone, you've got no idea, do you? If you're married young, you have no idea what lies ahead, where the Lord is going to use you, what circumstances. How wonderful to know that when God is in the picture, remember Jesus said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. How important it is then that we understand this principle, because in Scripture, the husband-wife relationship is the first and the most important relationship in the family. Not parent-child, but husband-wife. And if that is right, children will grow up in a home of security and love where they see the love of God exemplified as their parents love God, love each other, and love them. So marriage, please hear this, is not just a piece of paper. People say that to me all the time. Oh, we don't need to get married. We just love each other. That's important. Marriage is not just a piece of paper. It's not just a contract. Yes, it is a contract, but it is more than that. It is a holy covenant because we believe, certainly in the Christian faith, we believe that God brings us together. And because of that, it is a holy covenant and, please hear me, a binding contract. And this is why in the Ten Commandments, repeated throughout Scripture, we saw that as we have been studying Romans, as Paul talks about the commandments, he reminds us of the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Why is that so important? Because no third party should come and intrude into this relationship, this unique relationship, this most important, most delightful of all human relationships between a man and a wife whom God has put together. Therefore, the commandment is said in the Ten Commandments, repeated in the New Testament, you shall not commit adultery. Someone here thinking of committing adultery? Someone involved in some affair? Are you? End it. Do it God's way. There must be loyalty to each other. Husbands, are you loyal to your wife? Wives, are you loyal to your husband? Does your husband trust you completely? Men, do your wives trust you completely? I realize you are not married to a perfect person. But don't embrace the common philosophy that if in your marriage you feel misunderstood, unfulfilled, unappreciated, unhappy, that then you can terminate the marriage. That's the way of the world, but it's not the way of those whom God has put together. This is not God's way. Now you say, well, John, I understand this. Can I say what sounds self-evident? Spend time together. Seems to me there's an increasing tendency in our society for men and women to do their own thing. Then they've nothing to share. They've nothing to talk about. I read the other day that 69% of divorces today are said to be initiated by women. That surprised me. 69% of divorces today initiated by women who say they need more emotional connection from their husband. What does that mean, emotional connection? It means often they're not spending time to each other. They're not talking to each other. You say, well, my wife, my husband's got all these problems. I understand that. Don't just focus on the weaknesses of your husband, wife. Encourage their strengths. Compliment them. Again, I read recently that divorces don't normally happen when conflict increases, but when the number of positive things decrease. Is there going to be conflict, arguments, disagreements in marriage? Yes, if both of you are alive and can speak, that's going to happen. Of course there is. We're not perfect. We're different. One's a man, one's a woman. We look at things, different perspectives. Some of us marry people from different cultures. There's all kinds of reasons why we look at things differently. That's okay. Bit of conflict, bit of disagreement. That's not going to end the marriage. But the writer is saying, when the number of positive things decrease. I don't mean just some flowery talk. But are you focusing on the positive things in your marriage? I understand there's negatives. Are you spending time together, deepening your relationship? It's very interesting. Peter in the New Testament in 1 Peter 3, when he talks about husbands and wives, one of the interesting things he says to men, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. One is, I'm to live with my wife, not separate. It's always dangerous when a husband and wife separate. I realize there are times when they should, if one is being abusive in certain exceptional circumstances, but we are to live together, men, in an understanding way. You say, I don't understand my wife. I don't understand my wife all the time. I was raised with 5 boys, so I've never really understood women, quite honestly. And even being married for over 40 years, there's still some things about my wife that I don't understand. But I am to try to understand her. And that means spend time together. You will never understand your husband, your wife perfectly, but try to get to know each other. And you'll be surprised how that relationship deepens. David Brooks, he's written a recent book called The Second Mountain. Interesting book, good writer. He says, at the grand level, marriage means offering love, respect, and safety. But day to day, there are never-ending small gestures of tact and consideration in which you show you understand her moods. You cherish his presence, that this other person is the center of your world. Man, your wife needs to know that you have total loyalty to her, that she is the most important person in the world. Now, meaningful communication, we're told by the experts in marriages, is tragically brief and superficial. I heard of one couple recently who drove all the way from Canada to Florida and never spoke. You say, well, it's better than arguing. I'm not so sure. Can you imagine that? No communication. Talk to each other. Don't sulk. Stop being so sensitive. Childish. Don't take offense so easily. Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, your spouse, your husband, your wife will offend you. They'll say something, they'll do something, they'll have an attitude that really irks you. Don't be so sensitive. Love them. Understand them. You're not married to a perfect person. And sadly, when it comes to communication, even in the same house, more and more couples are texting each other. I mean, can you believe this? I mean, unless you're living in a huge castle, don't think most of us do. So unless, I guess, your house is absolutely huge, can you imagine trying to solve a problem or an issue with your spouse and you don't have the integrity to have a face-to-face conversation and you're texting yourself? And when you go home, don't bury yourself in your iPhone. This is the modern family. Husband in his iPhone, the wife in her iPhone, checking up her Facebook page to see what the latest coffee someone has drunk, I don't know. And we laugh, but we think, no, this is tragic, isn't it? We're losing the ability to talk face to face. Learn to ask the right questions. What sort of day have you had? How are you feeling? Can I help you in some way? And if you're very, very brave, but be careful, if you're really very brave, ask how you can improve as a husband or a wife. I don't ask that question too frequently, but it's a good question to ask. How can I do better? I'm very thankful that even after over 40 years of marriage, my wife and I still enjoy being together, getting to know each other, spending time with each other, laughing together. Do you ever laugh with your wife, your husband? Laughter. Life is crazy, isn't it? What I'm saying is this. In the profile of a marriage, loyalty to each other is important. It's essential, Jesus says. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Now there's a second one. In marriage, be loyal to the word of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, where we see Priscilla and Aquila, who were committed to God's word. I love this about this couple. Acts chapter 18. And here we are, Acts 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, that's the emperor, had commanded all of the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. Incidentally, Paul the apostle wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 18. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. They're with Paul on the ship. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. Verse 24. Now a Jew called Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the start of a new lesson titled, A Profile of Marriage. Stay right here, because John will be back in just a moment with closing remarks. This week, we're nearing the end of our final study in the book of Romans, and we want to remind you to get your copy of this segment's exclusive resource. As a companion to these daily lessons, John has prepared an in-depth study guide packed with devotionals and supportive materials. It's called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel. And it's the fourth guidebook in our series on the book of Romans, outlining chapters 12 through 16. It's free by mail or download, and you can easily request your copy by visiting our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. There you'll also find our previous guidebooks for Romans chapters 1 through 11. And you'll also have the opportunity to sign up for John's monthly email list. Be the first to know about upcoming resources and ministry updates by clicking the sign-up link on our homepage. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today, wherever you are, when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? I know you agree that loyalty is absolutely essential in marriage. It's so easy to look at the negatives of your spouse, but think of all of the positives. Are you a trustworthy husband? Are you a loyal wife? I know you value loyalty in others, but are you loyal? Be careful of any destructive attitudes or habits which could cause disloyalty in your marriage or relationships. Join me next time. We're continuing in Romans chapter 6 with this profile of marriage.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.